2 Corinthians chapter 12, I read to you at verse 7. To keep me, that's the Apostle Paul, from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." We've seen the destruction of the Bahamas. Can you imagine some people there seeing their crushed housing, their jobs gone, their schools and hospitals and all the infrastructure wrecked, wondering about life and God's hand in it? The power of nature, probably affected by human behaviors and human endeavors, to be mild about it, the crisis we might have made in the climate, is a puzzle, is a hard puzzle. And all the human sufferings and horrors that are self-made or inflicted upon us, depending on what level and where you're at in these stories, brokenness is pervasive. It's all around us. So Paul, when he thinks about his own troubles, his thorn in the flesh, no one quite knows what that was. Was that some disease? Was that kind of speech impediment? Was it his sexual orientation? There's all kinds of speculation about that. And he had at least 3 encounters with God that were urgent, no doubt other prayer. But Paul prayed as anyone else would in trouble. If you're a believer, you pray, especially when you're in trouble. Whatever crisis may be yours, you pray. And you might pray, because we humans tend to do this sometimes, please, God, please, if you'll heal me, I could do a lot more for you. You can make a bit of a deal with God. You can imagine Paul saying that. Come on. He evangelized the whole Near Eastern area and into Europe. I can do a lot more for you, God, if you lift these burdens and this health or whatever my crisis is. Lift my thorn in the flesh. It seems that almost the devil's after me. Why don't you lift that? Then I could do a lot more. If I got healed, I could. Yeah. But Paul didn't say that, did he? And he didn't get healed. And it didn't appear that he got bitter from it or became cynical or even just skeptical. I don't know. Don't you sometimes, if God can heal, why doesn't he? Instead, Paul got this turn of mind and heart. He got this revelation. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is shown to you in my power in your weakness. So Paul changed his whole attitude about suffering and weakness, especially in this pivotal chapter. But as you'll sense, this whole book, 2 Corinthians, is about that tension of being weak and strong, who is and who is not, and how are we to be weak and make that God's useful way with you. Now, understand this. I don't speak as someone who has suffered so profoundly. Some of you in this church know the meaning of suffering more than I do. You know, it's a we're dressed pretty finely. We're well off. We are the small, tiny percentage in the world that does as well as we do compared to most of the world's folks when it comes to how people live their lives. Now, let me just say from the outset right away that the only reason why I dare to do this, to preach this topic, but especially to preach these profound, glowing thoughts on this topic, is because it's in the scriptures. I don't model Paul's life. If you read in chapter 11, the things that he's done, and elsewhere in this, the stuff is that's happened to him. Just if you go to chapter 11 for a minute, it goes in there, verse 23. I have worked my harder than others. I've been imprisoned more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. Been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. And it goes on and on. You'll read that at home sometime. His list is huge. I haven't suffered that way. So this is not a fabrication for me to be up here, really, I sense. It's because the scriptures are so impelling, so they grip us, and we can be here together, you and me, today, because we have wonderful things from God to say to each other about the suffering that we do, and others do in other places of our world. Quite simply, one of the things you could say, and you know this from your own life, others have said it before me, only the wounded can serve the wounded. And that's a truism, a thing that's so obvious. In this church, we have some examples of that. We have AA that meets here. We have CA, Cocaine Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous. We have groups here that come here every week. You don't see them, most of us, but they're here every week, listening, helping each other. The weak helping the weak. That's how you get strong. And typically of all self-help groups like that is that they begin by saying, I was helpless until I encountered God. And they meet together to create a place and a space for honesty and truth in their weakness to discover the power there is when the wounded help the wounded. Henry Nouwen, whom you probably all have known or heard of so often, the Dutch Catholic priest who for some time, not far from here, at large community, kept the company of those who had disability. And he wrote about that so often in a book specifically called The Wounded Healer, but always has other references too, that when he was among those whom he then called handicapped, when he heard what he said, people with disabilities or handicapped people praying for handicapped people, not him praying for them, but when people who were had disability prayed for people who had disability in the family relationships that he created there, he felt the presence of God most. Why is this so? It's the nature, I think, at least we'll try to answer that, the wonder, the strange truth of God in Christ Jesus. In a little while, we're going to, just symbolically, break the bread. To say, his body was broken for you. But more deeply, and I think we probably can't find the words or the explanations, God has his own meanings of justice and love. When he offered his son to us to enter our broken humanity, look what we do to each other. Look what we've done to this world. But God chose that his son would enter that in such helpless fashion. To enter the brokenness of the deep and hardened human hate and horror, and to make our suffering his. In the institution of this communion thing that we do in church, kind of routinely, but some churches every Sunday, this communion, as it's called, it says it so strongly, "This is my body broken for you." You proclaim the Lord's death, his brokenness, until he comes. That's right in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul institutes. He's the only one who references the actual communion and Lord's Supper that way. The others speak about the Passover meal and so on. But the completed and fulfilled form is Paul's institution as described in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, and that whenever you do this, you do it in remembrance of me, says Jesus. You proclaim the Lord's brokenness until he comes. It's a fine litany, verses 30 and 31 of chapter 11. So, somewhere, we have to bring this home to you and me. And I think a reading of 2 Corinthians would get you deep into this. But I could bring you to the first chapter from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, just to catch this. Because in this prologue to the whole letter is also great strategy. Here's what it says. This is what he says about comfort. Second Corinthians chapter 1. Maybe you'll find it with me. That'd be kind of good to sear this on your memory and your hearts today. Starts at verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. This is how you can live your life all week long. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Paul says, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. See, what happens to a Christian community, what happens to people who are in Christ, what happens to people who have this mysterious bond with this Jesus, the bread, the juice, which points to his body and his blood, that uniqueness of being the body of Christ. What happens to folks like that is that they create a deeper bond, a bond of hope and kindness and relationship. So terribly missing in our world, our busy, busy, strange, and frazzled world. Our world hit with all the layers, we won't repeat them all, but all the layers of brokenness. Get this, I am with you. When you eat this, you eat me. What strange language is that? What strange language it is to say that? Jesus is saying is that he did not come to explain away suffering. He didn't come to explain it. And here's the harder part. He didn't come to take it away. Think about that as mature Christians. But he came to fill it with his presence. He came to fill it with his presence. This is my body. So what you have given and what you are as and what you're going through and whatever you are landing or is given you, there is no call then to be drooping in your own self-pity. No reciting too long or too much about how bad your life is. Nor is it even any bragging to. You can't boast in this. You can't brag about how well and strong you are, how capable you are of living your life. But comfort is the theme that's given you. So you are the body of Christ, given the body of Christ, so that you can comfort the body of Christ, so that you can be a light to the world, a hope, a nourishment in the meanings of suffering and brokenness that all humanity faces. But you are made whole in Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll rise and sing a closing song, or a responsive song. Lord God, today we are touched again with the mystery of suffering. We haven't said all there is to say about it, but we sense this, that we know brokenness in the layers of our lives, in family, at work, in our health. And God, we know about brokenness, death. We know it's meanness. We know about brokenness. But we know about how Jesus Christ was broken and continues to carry our brokenness to you. What a wonderful thing. What a great and glorious gift we are given today again. To be reminded of that in the eating of the bread, drinking of juice, that tells us again, we are the body of Christ. We can carry your comfort because you give it to us so generously in him, and we're called to comfort others. In Jesus Christ, O God, make this celebration last all week long. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.